The title of today's sermon is, Are You Really Living by Faith? Now, I know good and well, somebody can sit back and say, Brother Martin, isn't there anything else you can preach on? I mean, for the last 11 years, all, you know, faith message and faith sermons and faith, and more faith. I mean, Brother Martin, I've got faith sermons coming out of my ears. There's got to be something else you can preach on. Got to be something else you can teach on. You know, why another sermon on faith? I've already heard all the sermons on faith I need to hear. Well, you haven't heard this one. You say, well, how do you know I've never heard this one? Because I've never heard it. It's never been preached before. But seriously, I'm going to show you something today about faith that the Lord began to show me this week that I honestly don't ever remember hearing any of the faith preachers teach in all of the years that I've heard the faith preachers preach and teach. And I am firmly convinced that this message is going to open up eyes and unlock the understanding of a lot of Christians as to why it is that we say, I'm speaking in general terms now, that we say we're living by faith, but we don't see anything happening. There's a reason for this. Now, look over in Matthew chapter 4. Because if you've been around long enough and you've heard all these sermons about living by faith and, you know, so forth, you've heard these verses. And, you know, I could quote them, I could just read them to you, but I want you opening your Bible to see these. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Jesus makes a statement when Satan is confronting him, and he says, It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, for those of you that have heard all of these faith sermons, is that not a verse that we've heard over and over again? Man shall live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Well, look over in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And in verse 17, For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. You want to know what he's talking about there? This isn't part of this sermon, but I'll just give you a clue. From faith to faith. You know who he's speaking to primarily here? The Jews. From faith to faith. Faith in what? Faith in the works of the law. From faith to works in the law to faith in Jesus Christ, because the just shall live by faith. That's another sermon. But this one right here, the just shall live by faith. Have we not heard that over and over again? Faith sermons. Over and over again. Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. I mean, if you've ever heard faith sermon, sooner or later, you've heard that one repeatedly. We walk by faith, not by sight. Well, amen. That's in the Word. Hebrews chapter 11. Look at one more. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now, all these verses that I've used, if you're going to preach faith, and if you're going to preach especially a series on faith, you better use these verses. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We walk by faith, not by sight. We have to live by faith. You've got to put your faith in God. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And everybody says, Amen, that's right, praise God. I'm going to live by faith. Hallelujah. We're all going to live. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm going to live by faith. And everybody turns to them, I'm going to live by faith. Now turn to your neighbor and ask, Are you living by faith? Yes, I'm living by faith. And everybody's all pumped up. We're going to live by faith. In other words, our heart is right. Our determination is right. This is what we're going to do. This is what we want to do. Bottom line is, most Christians don't know how to do it. Now, Brother Martin, hold on. I've been in the faith camp for 35 years. I've heard every faith sermon there is. I've got all the faith books by all the faith preachers, all the faith CDs and DVDs and cassette tapes. And I mean, I've got it. You know, don't tell me I don't know how to live by faith. I've listened to those over and over again. Oh, in fact, I've listened to some of them so much, I could probably stand up and repeat them and preach them myself. So don't tell me I don't know how to live by faith. Well, maybe you are living by faith. But the person next to you might not be. We'll make an exception for you. Now, we ask the question, what does it mean to live by faith? We've read these verses. So then we ask the question, what does it mean to live by faith? Somebody says, well, bless God, I'll tell you what it means to live by faith. Living by faith means believing God's Word. Now, isn't that what we've heard before, what we've been taught? Living by faith means believing God's Word. So if you're going to live by faith, you have to believe God's Word. Very simple. And I'll tell you what else living by faith means. Living by faith means trusting God. You have to trust God if you're going to live by faith. And I'll tell you what else, Brother Martin, living by faith means accepting God's Word as the final say. Now, all of this is true, is it not? Sure it is. We can't argue with these things. However, we need to take a look in the Word about some aspects about this, about the verses we've read so far, and these statements about what does it mean to live by faith. What does it mean to live by faith? Believing God's Word, trusting God, and accepting God's Word is the final say. Amen. I'm not going to argue that point, but there's more to it than this. In other words, let's dig a little bit deeper into what we've just read and what we've just heard. Look in Genesis chapter 15. Genesis 15. And one man that's always lifted up, if you will, as an example of what it means to trust God, what it means to live by faith, is Abraham. Well, in Genesis chapter 15, verse 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision. Now, we've just heard that living by faith means that we believe the Word of God, we accept the Word of God as the final say in everything, correct? And that we trust God. Well, the Word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is Eleazar of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad, and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars that thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. Now look here, verse 6, And he, Abram, believed in the Lord, and he, the Lord, counted it to him, Abram, for righteousness. See that? Now to see this confirmed, you know, leave your finger here in Genesis, but go over to Romans chapter 4. Go to Romans chapter 4. And take a look at what God has to say about what Abram did. In Romans chapter 4, look here in verse 3. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Verse 9. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned unto Abraham for righteousness. In other words, righteousness was laid to his account, but he wasn't made righteous. But it says he trusted God, correct? He received an instruction from God. He received the Word from God, the Word of God. He trusted God. He believed God. God accounted it as righteousness unto him. Abraham demonstrated faith, did he not? Let's look at one other example. Look back in Genesis, but this time look in chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, verse 13. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. Verse 22. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. So what happened with Noah? Did he receive a word from the Lord? Did he receive instructions from God? Did he accept what God said? Did he accept it as the final say in the circumstance? Did he obey God and do what God said? God said, I'm going to destroy it. And we know the story. It was about the flood. And it was 100 years after he received that word from God. But for 100 years, he keeps building that ark, building that ark, building that ark. He continues for 100 years believing God, that God's going to do what God said he was going to do. And sure enough, he did. Now look over and see this confirmed in the New Testament. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. And take a look here in verse 5. It says, speaking, we're in mid-sentence here, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person. Now look here, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. It says he was a preacher of righteousness. Well, what kind of righteousness could he have preached? Because we know that true righteousness comes through Jesus Christ. Well, the righteousness that he preached was essentially trust God. God has said the flood's coming. God has said you people are evil. You people are wicked. Get your act together. Because this flood is your only, or this ark in the flood is your only hope. And for 100 years, the only people that listened to him was his family. They didn't have much choice because they lived with him. They probably got tired of the ridicule from all of the other, you know, extended family. And because Noah had brothers, read the scripture. He had brothers. There wasn't any of them on the ark. None of their wives were on the ark. None of their kids were on the ark. None of them. Not nobody in Noah's family, other than those under his own roof, made it to the ark. So, he believed God, he trusted God. And, like with Abram, God would have accounted that as righteousness unto him because he was a preacher of righteousness. Says so. Alright, so what do we have then with these two examples? You know, we could talk about Moses and others in the Old Testament, but I wanted to point these out. I want to ask you a question. A couple of questions here. Number one, just considering Noah and Abraham, did they believe God's word? Now, these aren't trick questions, okay? Did they believe God's word? Did they trust God? Did they accept God's word as the final say? In other words, they did what we tell people today living by faith means, right? What's the difference? What's the difference? They did the same thing we're supposed to be doing, did they not? We're supposed to do the same thing they did, are we not? In other words, now listen to me. Most of what we have heard, most of what I have heard, not all, but most of what I have heard has been pointing me in the direction of the Old Testament to live by that faith. And you say, well, what's the problem with that? We're not living back then. But you've got, and he showed this to me so clearly. Most all Christians are living by Noah and Abraham faith. Old Testament faith. We're not living by New Testament faith. Do we trust God? Absolutely we trust God. That's not the question. Do we accept God's word as the final say? Absolutely. That's not the question. Do we believe God? Absolutely. That's not the question. You say, well, Brother Martin, this is almost getting kind of confusing. You know why it's confusing? Why it sounds confusing? It's because nobody has really instructed us about what it means to live by faith as a child of God. We're living by sin-natured Old Testament example faith. We're not living by born again, child of God, new nature, the righteousness of God, faith. Therein lies the problem. And this is why most people aren't getting New Testament faith results. They're trying to live by Old Testament faith standards. Because for both the Old and the New Testament, you're supposed to believe the Word of God. For both the Old and the New Testament, you're supposed to accept God's Word as the final say. For both the Old and the New Testament, you're supposed to trust God. That's true on both ends. But the difference is how you do it. In the New Testament, we're in the New Testament. You understand that, all right? Just because there was a period at the end of the book of Acts or a period at the end of the book of Revelation doesn't mean the New Testament's over. We're living in the New Testament age. There is a difference for us. Now, I want to show some things to you in Scripture relative to this. Look again in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. We read this just a moment ago, but I want you to see it with your eyes as we read it again. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Jesus says, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." How many of you see that in your Bible? I want you to see this, and I just want this to dig in, okay? Man shall not live by bread alone, but man shall live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now this is Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, right? Is there a verse 5? Is there a mark? Is there a mark? A book of Mark?
Yes.
Is there a Luke?
Yes.
Is there a John? Is there an Acts? Is there a Romans? Is there a 1st and 2nd? Okay, do all those books come after Matthew 4, verse 4?
Yes.
Okay, then based on the order in which we have our Bible laid out, did those words proceed forth out of the mouth of God before or after Matthew chapter 4, verse 4? After, right? So that means if we're going to live by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God, then we've got to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God after Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Do you see this? Now, therein lies a major problem. Because most Christians are looking unto Abraham. They're looking unto Noah. Now, yeah, they are examples of people that trusted God. I don't disagree. But there is one huge, huge major difference between Noah and Abraham and us. We're born again. They weren't. You see this? They didn't have Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. They didn't have Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. They didn't have any of these books. They didn't have any of this revelation. None of it. Do you see what I'm saying? So when Jesus says, you're supposed to live by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God, He's saying, wake up, open your eyes, and realize there's a whole lot more that God has said since Abraham and Noah. And if you're going to live by faith, you have to live by everything that God has said. For example, you know that part where it talks about, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature? The old things have passed away. Doesn't that stand to reason that we shouldn't be living by the old things since they have passed away? Behold, all things have become new. Therefore, we're supposed to be living by all that Scripture reveals as being new. Here in the Bible, what we have is an example in the Old Testament of people who did the best they could, but they weren't born again. Look over in... Let me say this first. Living by faith. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. Now, we talked earlier here about how living by faith, so many people will answer, what does it mean to live by faith? And they'll say, well, it means believing God's Word. And I don't disagree with that. We are supposed to believe God's Word. And believing or living by faith, it means trusting God. Well, amen. Yes, you're right. We have to trust God. And living by faith, it also means accepting God's Word as the final say. Amen. That's right. That's right. But let me take you further in this. For us, as Christians, living by faith means the application of a biblical standard to experience the manifestation of a biblical promise. Let me say it again here for you, those writing it down. Living by faith means the application of a biblical standard to experience the manifestation of a biblical promise. Or another way to say it would be the application of God's standard to experience the manifestation of a promise of God. But the application of a biblical standard to experience the manifestation of a biblical promise. What promise did Noah believe for? Well, he believed the flood was coming, and he believed the ark was the answer to surviving the flood, did he not? So he applied the biblical standard, build the ark, and he received the manifestation of the biblical promise. You survived. But today, We're not supposed to be building arks. Not like Noah. You see what I'm saying? Let me give you another definition here. Living by faith means the application of a biblical standard to meet God's expectations. The application of a biblical standard to meet God's expectations. I'll say it one more time. The application of a biblical standard to meet God's expectations. Now, let me just throw this out to you. The first definition talked about the application of a biblical standard to experience the manifestation of a biblical promise. Noah and Abraham had promises, biblical, we'll call them because it came from God, biblical promises, all right? And they applied the standard that was revealed to them and they received the manifestation of the promises. But do you understand we've got a whole bunch of promises they never had? We've got all kinds of promises that by His stripes you were healed. That's a promise to us. That wasn't a promise to them because the one who took the stripes hadn't come on the scene yet. You understand this? We have the promise of being born again. They didn't have that promise. We have the promise that if you apply the biblical standard of believing in Jesus Christ and receiving Him as Lord and Savior, you become born again. They didn't have that promise. Didn't exist for them. What I'm trying to say is the promises that we have exceed the promises they had. And the expectations that God has for us exceed the expectations God had for them. If we're trying to live according to the pattern of faith we see demonstrated in them, then we're not going to receive the full manifestation of the promises God has made to us. Likewise, we will not be able to meet His standards and expectations. You cannot live like Abraham and please God. You cannot live like Noah or David, or Solomon, or Ezekiel, or Daniel, and please God. Because things are different now. And what we hear so much in the faith message is, trust God, believe His Word, accept His Word as truth. And we should do that. But there's more to it than that. Let's clarify even more. Look over in Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. Now, Jesus, James, Peter and John had been up on the Mount of Transfiguration. They come back down. And in verse 14, there came a multitude to Him and a certain man kneeled down. And he says, Lord, have mercy on my son. He's a lunatic, sore vexed. Oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples and they could not cure him. Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Now, I want you to see this. Because in verses 20 and 21, Jesus is introducing elements of faith that had never before anywhere in Scripture been introduced. Now look at this. He said, because of your unbelief. Why couldn't we cast the devil out? He said, because of your unbelief. Well, hold on here. These guys have already demonstrated faith. Who are they following? Every day. They're Jesus groupies. They're the apostles. They're the disciples. They're following Him. They have a faith in Him. Not only that, but they have done things for Him. They've already separated themselves from popular Jewishness. You know what I mean? They're already marked by the scribes and Pharisees as being followers of that rebel Jesus. You see what I'm saying? And then Jesus looks at them and says, I know that you guys have done this, that, and done some of these things and followed, but because of your unbelief. Well, that was a shock to them. I mean, some of these guys were coming to the place. I mean, they're believing that, we got the Messiah here. There's something going on here. Other people were starting to believe this as well. And He says, because of your unbelief. He says, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed. It's like, hold on here, Jesus. What do you mean faith as a grain of mustard seed? We've been trusting you. We believe you've got the words from God. We've been listening to you. Now you say if we had faith as a grain of mustard seed? What's the big deal? Jesus, I want to clarify something for you right now. If you told me to go build an ark that another flood was coming, I'd go down to Sears and I'd get me a saw and a hammer and nails and I would start building the ark. Do you understand me, Jesus? I have faith. And Jesus, let me paraphrase for him, not the kind I'm talking about. Not the kind I'm talking about. Then he says something here in verse 21. When he's talking about the unbelief, this kind of unbelief doesn't go out but by prayer and fasting. Because by prayer and fasting, you deal with the unbelief. The unbelief was the thing that was keeping you from casting out the devil. See it? Nowhere in the Old Testament do you see anybody told to give themselves over to prayer and fasting so that it would impact their faith. Nowhere. So what we see here is somebody with a whole different level of insight delivering a whole different message about faith that nobody had ever heard. Scribes and Pharisees never taught this. It's not recorded in the law. It's not there. See, Jesus, what are you telling me? He said, what I'm telling you is this. There's a whole different dimension of faith that you guys have not yet experienced. But we trust you and we believe in God. Yes, you do. And you need to keep doing that. But what I'm talking about is not presently available to you. I'm looking beyond you and I'm looking beyond the cross to something else. Well, let's go further. Look in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. This is a verse we've heard used in all these faith sermons over and over again. But I want to point something out to you about this. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. How many of you have heard this used in the faith sermons before? But now look closely at what it says at the beginning. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You see that? You say, yeah, Brother Martin, what of it? Abraham and Noah couldn't do this because Jesus hadn't come on the scene yet. You see the difference here? Abraham and Moses and Noah and David and all the rest of that bunch, they had faith, but they didn't have this kind of faith. They could not have had this kind of faith because it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. In other words, he's saying, you can't... Yeah, Abraham is a good example of somebody that trusted God. So was Noah, so was Moses, and so forth. But you can't look unto them because they didn't have what it takes to live by the faith God expects us to live by. Moses went up the mountain. He had the glory of God on him. But he couldn't look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, because Jesus hadn't come yet. It's only been in the last 2,000 years that anybody could look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So if we're not looking unto, let me say it like this, Jesus' faith, then what are we doing? We're looking unto Old Testament faith. We're looking unto a faith that impacts our way of thinking. Yes, I believe God. Yes, God's Word is true. I'm convinced. You'll never convince me otherwise. God's Word is true. Well, praise God and hallelujah for it. All of us believe that. But then so did Abraham. So did Noah. So there's got to be something different about us than them. And there is. We can look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. They couldn't do that. That means that there is, now listen, there is an element of faith that is only available to us as a result of the completed work of Jesus Christ. Up until then, yeah, you can have faith. Hey, lost people have faith. They can have at least enough faith to believe in God to be born again. That's what the Old Testament people had. And God's saying, no, hey, you need to understand, man, the bar has been raised. Now you are supposed to be looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. That word author means the one who produces it, the originator. Well, they didn't have that in the Old Testament. That was not available until after Jesus was raised from the dead. And we could become born again. Let me show this to you. Look over in Galatians. Galatians chapter 2. Paul writes in verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Now remember, who's writing this? The Apostle Paul. Now, we know the Apostle Paul's pedigree, right? A Pharisee of Pharisees, and so on and so forth. Did the Apostle Paul believe God? Absolutely. Did the Apostle Paul trust God? Absolutely. Did the Apostle Paul have faith? Absolutely he did. Just, I mean, read what he writes about himself, about how, you know, I adhered to the law. And so, in other words, he lived by faith. And the only thing he had as far as faith was concerned was the law. Okay? And prior to that, Moses and Abraham, they didn't have the law, but they still had God speak to them, and they still had a revelation of what He wanted, and they trusted Him. So here you have the Apostle Paul. He lived by faith. This was not a question. He believed the Word of God. In fact, he believed it so much, he was persecuting and killing people that he thought were in opposition to the Word of God. I mean, this guy was sold out. Completely, 100% sold out to God. But the faith he was living by then was not the faith he needed to live by now. Because the old things of the law and the way they did things under the Old Testament completely changed. Those things don't apply anymore. Now, we're supposed to live according to this new standard. And look what Paul says. He says, look, I'm crucified with Christ. Everything about who I was, what I was, and how I used to be died. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, not I. In other words, not my life, not my will and desires, not what I determine. He says, I live, but it's not I. It's Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. You see this? Now, if you've got a version of the Bible that says by the faith in the Son of God, you can do what you want, but if I were you, I'd take that Bible, I would bury it, I would never use it again, and I'd go get something that's a little bit more reliable. Because he's already put his faith in the Son of God to be born again. Now he's living by the faith of the Son of God. What does that mean? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we become born again. We now have the life of God on the inside of us. Abraham, Noah, and the rest of that bunch back then, they didn't have that. They couldn't be born again. So what happened? They didn't have the life of God in them to produce the faith that God desires us to live by. And so Paul says, let me kind of paraphrase a little bit of what he's saying here. I used to live by faith in my belief in God, in my belief in His Word, but things have changed for me now. I still live in the flesh, but the old me is dead and gone. There's a new me on the inside, the born-again me. And the born-again me does not live by the old faith way. The born-again me that's living in this flesh body now lives by the faith of the Son of God. See, when I get born again, not only do I receive the nature of God, but it's the nature of God which contains the capacity to live by the faith of God, by the faith of Christ. Not the faith. The faith in Christ got me born again. Now I'm supposed to live by the faith of Christ, looking unto Jesus. You see this? I look unto Him as the example of what it means to live by that kind of faith. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is an example of what it means to live by that kind of faith. I'll give you an example. The blind fellow. Remember that? Jesus, Son of David, help me. Jesus says, what do you need? And the guy says, well, I want my sight. And Jesus says, okay, here, have it. You can see now. You say, well, I don't get it. All right, go back and read from Genesis all the way to Malachi. You find me one example of anybody who did what Jesus did. Everywhere he went. What do you need? What do you want? Do this. Everywhere he went. Everywhere. See, all those people in the Old Testament, they trusted God. But when you come over here, Jesus was setting an example. And now we're supposed to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Every one of us has faith. That's not the question. The question is, what kind of faith are we living by? Are we living by Abraham faith, Noah faith, Moses faith, or are we living by Jesus faith? Because, let me show you something here. Look back in Hebrews. The Lord brought this to my mind, and the wording in what we're going to read fits into this message today. I'm not going to preach this whole chapter, Hebrews chapter 4, okay? But it says, let us therefore fear, verse 1, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us, now look here, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Okay? Now the Lord brought this to me, this, and he gave me like, I don't want to call it a vision, but like on the inside, he like showed me this working relative to this message today. You'll understand here in just a moment. The people in the Old Testament, they were not born again. They did not have the life and the nature of God on the inside. Because of that, it wouldn't have mattered how much word they heard. They had a dead sin nature inside, and the word of God being given to them could not mix with the life of God in them to produce the expectations of God in their lives. You see this? And it's kind of like, you know, you can try to mix oil and water, but they're going to separate. Okay? You can't keep them mixed. But then he showed me people today. We have the life of God. The life of God is compatible with the Word of God. When the Word of God comes in, it's got something to mix with. So the Word comes in, and when the Word comes in, it mixes with the life of God, and the results are we begin to see the promises manifest, and we begin we're able to live according to the expectations of God. The people in the Old Testament couldn't live according to God's expectations. Oh, they could live by the expectations that He set for them, except when it came to living by the law, and the sin nature kept them from being able to fulfill the law. But Jesus came, and He said, I didn't come to destroy, He said, I came to fulfill the law. I've come to set an example for you. So now here we are today. We've got the life of God. The Word can now mix with the life of God in us, if you will. And it won't separate. It stays in there to work according. Well, the Bible says God works in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. His Word working in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. And see, this is how we begin to live by faith. You can say you believe the Word of God. Listen, you want to know why a lot of people aren't receiving the manifestation of healings in their body? It isn't because they don't believe by His stripes we were healed, but it's because they're believing it with Old Testament mental soul faith. They're not letting the Word of God get mixed with the life of God on the inside of them to produce the promises of God relative to healing. Now you can say what you want about this and argue with me until you're blue in the face, but the bottom line, it says looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, and these are the standards that we see in Him. Let me show you something. Look in Romans chapter 10, a verse that we use so much in all of our faith sermons. But in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, so then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. See it? Now wait a minute. All those people in the Old Testament had faith. What he's doing here in Romans is he's trying to explain to us there has been a shift in this. There's been a change. I can listen to the stories of Abraham all I want and praise God for it. Nothing wrong with that. I mean, we should do that. But when it comes to living by the kind of faith, the Jesus kind of faith, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. Our born-again spirit needs the Word of God relative to who we are in Christ. You see this? Now, the Old Testament gives prophecies and types and shadows of who we will be in Christ. But when you get to the New Testament, you don't have prophecies and you don't have types and shadows. You have fulfillment. And the Word of God given to us in the New Testament is no longer, as it were, a mystery to so many people. But now, I mean, it is the unveiled truth. And faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. See, this is one of the reasons why people will fuss and argue about whether or not they're righteous. Why, Christian? Well, I don't want to call myself righteous. Well, why not? That you're living by Old Testament faith then. Because for them, righteousness was laid to their account, but not imparted to their spirit. But for us, the Bible says that we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We have been made the righteousness of God by Christ. Do you see this? So when you begin to listen to how people talk about, well, you know, that healing thing's passed away. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. I can begin to take the Word of God relative to who I am in Christ and what Christ has accomplished for me because Jesus has already completed His work. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So the life of that Word mixes with the life of my spirit and eventually the promises will begin to manifest. And somebody says, yeah, but Brother Martin, I believe the Word of God. Everything you said, I believe the Word. It isn't just believing the Word. So what? Abraham believed the Word of God. And it was accounted to him as righteousness. Again, you're not hearing me. It's not a matter of believing the Word of God. It's a matter of receiving the Word of God in your spirit. And that doesn't happen just on Sunday morning. You see this? It's a whole different... Are you starting to see what I meant by I've never heard people preach about it this way in the past, the faith messages? Remember what I said. The definition of New Testament faith for Christians living by faith. The application of a biblical standard to experience the manifestation of a biblical promise. What's one of the biblical promises? Now let me paraphrase. That we can conform to the image of Christ. If you don't apply the biblical standard, you don't conform to the image. I believe we're going to be like Jesus. Praise God, you should. But what are you doing about it? If you're not applying the biblical standard, it won't happen. The application of a biblical standard to meet God's expectation. What expectation? That we conform to the image of Christ. That we continue to live the book of Acts today. See this? We've been taught so much to live by Old Testament faith that when it comes to living by New Testament faith, we think all we have to do is believe that God's Word is true. No. That isn't going to get it. Let me show you something else. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Now look over in Jude chapter 1.
Brother Martin, I figured you'd hit this one sooner or later.
Oh, praise God, I'm not going to disappoint you then, am I? Jude chapter 1, verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, how? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in tongues. Abraham couldn't do this. David couldn't do this. Moses couldn't do this. None of them back then could do it. None of them. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. What Word of God? The Word of God relative to who I am in Christ, what Christ has done for me, etc. and so forth. In other words, if I don't feed it in me, if I don't feed it, faith doesn't come. You have the capacity for faith. All right? There's that fellow down in, where is it, Jamaica? Out of Jamaica? I mean, he can run faster than a speeding bullet. Every time he races, he breaks world records. They think he is very possibly coming to the point of reaching the limits of human potential as far as self-accelerated speed. The guy's incredible. The potential's been there, but if he hadn't done anything with it, we'd have never seen those world records out of him. Do you see what I'm saying? His body has always had the potential to run 100 meters in under 9.6 seconds. You know, you blink your eye, you missed him. His body has always had the potential for that. But until he began developing that potential, it never happened. And see, one of the things that you're going to have is repeatedly in the body of Christ, people are going to say, well, I believe the Word of God. I believe what God has to say. I accept what God says. But then when you come to identifying these whole issues of faith, that's when people begin to dismiss it and to begin to say things like, well, it's just a bunch of religious stuff, or that stuff's not true, that stuff's not for today. But you can't find that in Scripture. That's the problem. So you have Christians who, what they do, they just come over here and they set up their own standards according to what they want to believe, and that's what they want to accept, that's what they're going to live by, and you uneducated bunch over here, you know, you can just go ahead and do your own thing, but, you know, I'm a little more sophisticated and I understand these things over here a whole lot better than what you do, and if you really want some truth, then you hang around with me. Alright, well, start telling me what you believe. Well, I'm a blah, blah, et cetera, and so forth, et cetera, and don't forget I'm educated, and on it goes. It's, okay, well, you know what? What you just said, I can't seem to find that. I can't. Well, you know, our understanding has expanded over the centuries. May I be blunt? Your ignorance and stupidity has expanded, because anytime you go outside from the standards of what God's Word has said, man, you are out of God's will. I don't care what you say. You want to fuss with me about it? You can fuss with me about it. You know, out there on that sign, the church sign, and on my church business cards, DR period does not appear in front of my name. It could, but it doesn't. You know why? Okay, sure, I've got a PhD. Sure, I've got a doctorate. Whoopee. There are a lot of people out there who have their masters and their doctorates. They don't know squat. When it comes to the things of God, they're living by mind, reason, and everything else. You know, it's interesting. I was talking to somebody here about this the other day. How that, you know, I don't live by doctorate. I don't live by, you know, Dr. Martin. And I mean, I just don't do that kind of stuff. But every now and then, though, very rare occasions, very rare, when somebody's been trying to impress me, and what I mean by that, they're trying to show me how stupid I am and how little I know. When I let it drop that I have a PhD, you'd be amazed how their demeanor changes. Oh, well, then you must know something. Yeah. And the Bible talks about how Jesus was a man without letters, and how that Peter and John were unlearned and ignorant. Don't waste your time on a college degree if God never told you to get it.
But man, but you've got a Bible.
Don't waste your time on a college degree if God never told you to get it. Spend your time and redeem it in this. This is your answer right here. And so he says right here, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now let me show you an expanded version of this. Go back over to 1 Corinthians 14 real quickly. Won't spend a lot of time in it.
Brother Martin, I take issue with your insulting demeanor.
Well, you wouldn't if you were walking by faith. Nothing personal. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We've already been told that we're going to build ourselves up on our most holy faith by praying in tongues, praying in the Holy Ghost. And then Paul says, let me tell you some more about this. In verse 2, he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men but unto God, for no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. What mysteries? The mysteries that those guys in the Old Testament didn't know. That they didn't understand. They couldn't understand. They didn't have the capacity to understand it. And Paul explains this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He says, to paraphrase that chapter, he says, those people back then didn't understand it. But now God's revealed them to us by His Spirit. And he explains that process in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And he goes on here, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4, he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. Well, what am I doing when I pray in tongues? You said you're building yourself up on your most holy faith. And Paul is saying, yeah, that's right, you're edifying yourself. Verse 14, he says, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. So what happens when I'm praying in tongues? My spirit is praying. Abraham couldn't do that. David couldn't do that. Now, I want to point this out to you. When it says to live by faith and not by sight, when it talks about where the just shall live by faith, and all these different verses that we look at, you've got to understand that God put these passages in there from His perspective. He's telling us you've got to live by the faith that is available to you as a born-again Christian. Not the kind of faith that Abraham lived by. And the only way that you can do this, Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. Listen, faith doesn't come by your experiences. I don't care how many cars you've wrecked. I don't care how many houses have burned down. I don't care how many family members have passed away. I don't care. Faith doesn't come by those things. You say, but Brother Martin, I learned to trust God more through all of that. Well, praise God you trusted God. Praise God you learned to trust Him. But remember what we talked about earlier. Living by the kind of faith He's talking about here does not mean just trusting Him. Living by this kind of faith means you're going to end up getting Jesus kind of results. That's what it means. But we don't believe that. So the reason, or the way that we explain it away, things like, well, if God really wanted it to happen, it would happen. If these things were really for today, we'd have it in our church. And God's up in heaven, He's saying, well, it's not a problem. Number one, if you really would read my word, you'd find out I do want it for you and I do want it for your church. And number two, if you really want it to happen, then you would apply the standards that I've laid out in my word. Because if you apply the standards I've laid out in my word, you'll get the promises that I've laid out in my word. You'll be able to meet the expectations. You'll be able to accomplish those things that I tell you you need to accomplish, those things you need to do. It's right in there. So if we do not give ourselves over to the Word of God, you know, it's just amazing to me. I have heard so many educated theologians spew out more dung. I mean, it is filth. And then they tell you it's God. You got these universities that have Harvard at one time was a seminary. And the only way that you could get in is if you had a letter from your pastor stating that you had a call of God on your life to preach the gospel. Otherwise, you didn't get admitted. Now, they've thrown out every course relative to the Word of God, but they still offer religion. Come on, man. You honestly believe that kind of bunk is gonna stand with God? You need to understand something. The Bible makes it clear. It is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. My friend, you are going to stand before Almighty God and give an account for this.
Well, hey, you think you're better than everybody else?
No, I don't. But I thank God that I'm at least smart enough to figure out I'm dumb and I need some teaching that comes from God. So if I'm supposed to be living by faith, what he talks about, this kind of faith that God is describing here in the New Testament, it's going to come by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And it's going to be developed by praying in the Spirit. Now, I challenge you to find anything else in Scripture that states otherwise. And then Jesus also mentioned the part about the fasting, dealing with unbelief through fasting. See, these are things all relative to us today in the New Testament. All relative to us. So we can say we live by faith, and we can live by faith up to that Abraham level. We absolutely can. We can live by faith up to that Noah level. Absolutely can. If they did it, we sure can. We can live by faith up to the David and the Daniel and the Ezekiel. We can do that. We absolutely can. But the Bible says to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That means I have the ability to go beyond the level of David, Abraham, Noah, Moses, and all the rest of them back then. I have the potential to go beyond that. And the only way that's going to happen, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, and praying in the Spirit. Those are the standards He's laid out in His Word.
Well, I don't agree with that, Brother Martin.
Then live by Abraham faith. Listen, that's not a horrible way to live. Look what it did for those guys. See what I mean? I'm not saying that's a bad way to live. I'm saying, man, there's a better way. And the standards that God lays out before us, He says, look, here, this is what you need to do now. Look unto Jesus, follow that pattern, allow it to develop in you, and get those kind of results. So it's really up to us what we do. God's not going to just, you know, snap His fingers over you or, you know, that, remember, bewitched, she'd wiggle her nose and something would happen. God's not going to wiggle His nose and make things happen for you. It's not going to be that way. We have to do what God has said to do. And this is what will take us into levels of faith that we've heard taught about, but not yet experienced. When we do it God's way, we get those results. So this answers the question as to why so many people say, "Well, I'm living by faith, but why don't I get the re- why don't?" It's because they're living by the faith that'll only take you so far, but it won't get you to the place where God wants you. The moment you get born again, you have stepped into a whole new world of potential with God.